You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Did you call game? I called game.
Gilbert, fade away.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Ben Standick here for another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. As you know, your daily conversation for the Washington Wizards. Wizards, I'm talking to you guys Friday night. Wizards Hawks get at it Saturday, 5:30 in Atlanta for Game 3. Wizards with a 2-0 series lead. You guys already know all that stuff. If the Wizards win Game 3, they will be in very much in the driver's seat. But they lose Game 3, and hey, you know what? All the home teams haven't lost yet. It's they always say it's not a series until a home team loses. So big game coming up here for the Wizards. They've looked good in these two games. You don't take wins in the playoffs for granted, but there's definitely things that they can still work on. I just think Atlanta has not been that sharp. I talked about that with Todd Dybas after game two, and then I also talked some more Wizards March and Gortat as well with my guy Scott Jackson from ESPN 980. You can find both of those podcasts on iTunes or now on Stitcher or anywhere else you do your podcasting. So check all that out. Here's what I got for you guys today. Three keys to the game. Tell you what I learned today at Wizards practice before the team went down to Atlanta. And if all goes well, I will play for you towards the end some audio from John Wall from today. I'm saying all goes well. I need to do some work here. But hopefully I'll get that for you guys at the end. If not, I will at least kind of tell you the gist of what he was saying. Beyond that, you know, if you guys are staying in town, you know, let me know. There's a decent chance I'm going to go out somewhere for Saturday's game and maybe Monday as well, somewhere around town to watch it. I will, if people are interested, I can let you guys know on Twitter, at Ben Standig or at Locked On Wizards. Of course, you can also hit me up on my Facebook page, Ben Standig. I don't know. Something I've been thinking about doing. Typically, I'm at the game or during the regular season, it's sort of chaos. But a Saturday, midday, I don't know, seems like a possibility. I know this is short notice, but if you're listening, hey, maybe we can work something out. All right, let's get into some things about the Wizards. Here's a couple things from today's practice. First off, Scott Brooks said, we've already been told Jan Mahimi, who has not played the first two games, Scott Brooks said after the last game that Mahimi wouldn't play in Game 3. He's been dealing with a calf injury that he suffered in the next to last game of the regular season. Today, Scott Brooks said that Mahimi could miss multiple games. It doesn't sound like he'll play in Game 4 either, and the reality is he wouldn't commit to Mahimi playing in this series at all. The reality is, the way things are going, that's not such an issue for this series. The Hawks are trying to play Dwight Howard seemingly fewer and fewer minutes to go with a smaller lineup. He only played 20 minutes in Game 2. And so far, Marcin Gortat has gotten the better of him. So there's that. So for this series, not necessarily a big deal that Jan Mahimi is back. But hey, it's always good to have more options. The question, though, is, if the Wizards do advance, what's the deal with Jan Mahimi? When's he going to get back? You know, the last time he was injured, it didn't seem like, you know, we knew it was going to be a few weeks. He came back for one game, and he was out forever again. So until he's back, I don't even know what to make of it anymore, because until Scott Brooks gives us something definitive, it's hard to know. But that's something, obviously, we're all going to keep an eye on for sure. Something else from practice today. Todd and I talked about how the one piece of Scott Brooks' rotation, sort of a big frustration for us, is when at the end of the first quarter, he's playing Brandon Jennings with John Wall. Now, sometimes he keeps Bradley Beal on the court for the end of the first quarter. We're really talking about the last, say, 4 minutes of the first quarter. Sometimes it's Bradley Beal, but most of the time it's Wall. The reality is, when you look at the numbers, my guy Truth about it, Kyle Weed, I had this stat the other day. Basically, the net ratings when you have Wall and Beal, I'm sorry, when you have Wall and Beal, and when you have Beal and Jennings, positive. When you have Wall and Jennings, it's negative. It's negative, and it's understandable. Again, you can talk. You can go back and listen to what Todd and I talked about. It won't get into too many details, but basically, Brandon Jennings is not an off the ball player. John Wall, really, why would you want John Wall off the ball, even though he says he'll do it at times with Brad? That's different. You don't want them out there for that reason. Defensively, Jennings is already not one of your better players, so it puts Jennings in a tough spot on both ends. At least with Beal, he can be his natural spot. In any event, what Scott Brooks said today about that was more or less the following. One, he doesn't have a set plan of when he sticks Wall or Beal out there at the end of the quarter. He said, quote, it's a gut feeling, and that it's not something that's set in stone. He also said he's comfortable, this is, quote, comfortable playing Brandon with either one, but said that, I guess in essence, with the Wall and Beal aspect, Wall and Jennings aspect, they worked on some things at practice in between games here. So we'll see how that goes. You know, Todd and I went as far as to say we wouldn't mind if a Sheldon McClellan came in there or to play defense in those. If you're going to play Wall with Wall, sick him on Dennis Schroeder, maybe give Wall a rest on some level there and do that. Or I could argue Trey Burke. Burke and Wall was not the worst combination for the Wizards. He can make threes. If you're never going to guard him because you're focused elsewhere, he'll make that shot in theory. At least he did this year. So something to keep an eye on there. What does Scott Brooks do with that Brandon Jennings end of the fourth quarter, end of the first quarter, I'm sorry, situation, or really at any point when Jennings is in the game, who's the other guard that he's going to play with? All right, let's get to three keys for this game. Number one for me for game three, I think the turnover battle. Going into the series, I noted that the Wizards and Hawks were two of the top three teams in the league in forcing turnovers. The Wizards also, against the Hawks this year, had committed at least 18 in every game, in all four regular season games. They haven't been doing that so far, and I think that's been a big key why they're up 2-0 in the series. The Wizards are averaging 11.5 turnovers through two games. The Hawks, 19.5. I'll get into some other aspects that why that's a big deal, but bottom line is just possessions. The more possessions you have, the better chance you have to get points. It's as simple as that. But now the Wizards are the one on the road. You would think by some logic that that's going to tighten and maybe even swing somewhere towards the Hawks. Question is, if it does, how much? If it's a big gap like that, an 8-turnover gap, the Wizards probably lose game three, it would be my guess. But if they can keep it to, you know, even at least, or maybe just a tick the Hawks way, that would be in theory reasonable if everything else works itself out. But turnover, something to keep an eye on. Number two, foul trouble. Good Lord, how are the refs going to call this game? It was insane, game two. There was no flow. The Wizards had all kinds of foul trouble. Markieff Morris, Otto Porter, Kelly Oubre, all were in foul trouble. All had four fouls by the third quarter. Morris got his fifth in the fourth. That's going to be key. These teams took a ton of free throws. I think if the more fouls, I think, benefits Atlanta. The Wizards probably want more of a free-flowing game to get the tempo going. That's where they want it. Atlanta will, if they go smaller, maybe that won't be as bad for them. But, foul trouble is going to be key. Also, it's worth noting, of course, you know, when Markieff Morris was out of the game in that third quarter, Paul Millsap scored 14 points. Morris is the best option the Wizards have against Millsap. You take him out. You know, if Atlanta goes small with Millsap as the five, as they did, that leaves Marcin Gortat or Jason Smith on him. I think Gortat did a pretty reasonable job in game two, but that's not your ideal long-term plan there. So foul trouble, big key there. Number three, three-point shooting. Both teams have stunk shooting from three. The Wizards are at 30%. The Hawks are even worse, 24.4. That is a win for Atlanta. The Hawks just don't have tremendous three-point shooting shooters. They have some guys that can make some threes. No, not saying that, but they don't have prolific shooters. The Wizards, Otto Porter, he finished fourth in the NBA in three-point shooting. Bradley Beal is one of the game's premier three-point threats. Obviously, Bojan Bogdanovic has been key for the Wizards from deep. Markieff Morris has been making threes, you know, over the course of the season, and you have Jason Smith as well. So the three-point shot is a bigger deal for the Wizards, especially with John Wall driving and kicking. But whichever team, you know, if the Wizards can bump that up, to, you know, the, you know, 36-37%, they should be in pretty good shape. If Atlanta gets going there, being at home, you know, if they go small, which we kind of think you do, with guys like Muscala and Ilyasova can make that three, Millsap can step out, and he probably will, especially if he's guarded by Gortat. You know, that will be Mike Dunleavy is another guy. So with the three-point shooting, who I won't say who wins the three-point percentage battle wins the game, but it's something to keep an eye on. Somebody's going to have a hot game from three. We haven't seen it yet. The team that gets that this game, that could be the difference there. Speaking of the three-point shooting, with regards to Otto Porter, who has, you know, look, Otto Porter, his three-point shooting was down significantly after the All-Star break, and he has struggled so far here in the playoffs. Not even just in terms of the actual shooting. At this point, Otto is 20%, but he's only taking 2.5 threes per game. That's not nearly enough for a guy who's fourth in the NBA in three-point shooting. So it's been cleared. We've made this joke all year how Tony Allen, when Memphis was here, Tony Allen said, hey, Otto Porter, he wasn't even on our game plan. Well, it's pretty clear he is now. You watch Taurean Prince, who's been guarding Otto Porter at the start of games. Even when John Wall penetrates, Prince seems like he's staying on Otto Porter. You know what? Here's what Scott Brooks had to say about that. He pointed out that, yeah, look, a team like Atlanta is going to try to take away Otto Porter. Why wouldn't they, right? He's a priority for Atlanta. But here's the thing, quote, we don't mind that. And what he means by that is that the Wizards have enough other options out on the court. So fine, if Atlanta is going to stick a Taurean Prince on Otto and stay with him on the perimeter, okay, as long as the Wizards' other four guys are the ball's moving and John's got some lanes, they can get what they need to get done. All that said, at some point, the Wizards need to find ways to get Otto Porter going. Same with Bojan Bogdanovic. They're going to need those three-point shooters for a deep playoff run. It's only two games in, time to go, but something to keep an eye on there. And lastly, I guess let me throw in an and one here. And that is just simply, what's the adjustment? For anybody who watched the Boston Celtics, Chicago Bulls play Game 3, Boston went with a crazy small lineup. They started Gerald Green, who basically I don't think had started in like a decade for anybody. They sat Amir Johnson. That small look worked wonders for Boston. They got after the Bulls, who have a bigger team, and bigger, slower team, and they got at them and won that game. I don't know, I'm not saying Atlanta does anything crazy dramatic, but, you know, hey, look, they already didn't play Dwight Howard in the fourth quarter in Game 1. He only played 20 minutes in Game 2. Atlanta, you know, I don't know if they could play their small lineup more and keep Dwight Howard sane by playing him even less. But, you know, you never know. It could be a lot of different things. It could be, maybe Atlanta keeps Howard on the court and goes with basically four guards to try to spread the Wizards out, or, you know, whatever. Maybe it's Millsap at the five, but this time he's just playing exclusively out high to try to get three-pointers or drives off court top. Whatever it is, maybe it's the Wizards to make that move. Point is, the point about an NBA series are the adjustments. Teams will make adjustments. We'll see what they are. And how you react to that adjustment is going to be key. That's the wild card, probably for any of these games. But with Atlanta down 2-0, you kind of figure it's going to be a chance for them to try something different this game. All right, and lastly here, let's wrap this up with John Wall. You know, we talked to him fairly often, of course. Today was a fun one. There was only a handful of us media types left at the end of Wizards practice. He took longer than some others, and a lot of the other reporters left for various reasons. They had things to do or whatever. So only a handful of us were there. Got to talk to John about a lot of different topics. The series, of course. His play, how much he's evolved, how much these games mean to him, the backcourt with Brandon Jennings, and some other fun stuff. He's flexing a lot. What does that mean? The video clip of him talking some trash to Dennis Schroeder after that dunk. And if you haven't seen it, go look for it online. The look where he's giving Schroeder that face of like, come on, man, you didn't just try to block me on that fast break dunk, did you? And Walt talked about that. And, you know, hey, maybe he's even a little bit mean, which is odd because he seemed he was very cordial when he's dealing with us. So a lot of fun. I'm going to play maybe as much of this as I can here. For those of you who obviously follow the local scene, you'll hear Dan Steinberg and hear a lot from the Washington Post. He of course asked a lot of those questions that led to that fun. And my friend Howard Fender, who's been on the podcast as well with the Associated Press, was part of the group as well. That's what we got going on here, and I'll close it out. Wizards Hawks Game 5. But before that, let's get here from the man John Wall, who at 3-2 games, he's definitely been the MVP of this series. Oh wait, you can also find some videos on at Locked On Wizards on Twitter of John Wall talking. All right, here we go.
Now that you've had a chance to look at the tape from game two, how do you guys think you did? Obviously you won, but I mean, how did you think it was you guys did overall?
We did good. You know, I mean, certain things we still got to do better. We're just late switching, doing a bad job of matching up in transition. I think in the third quarter, they just started being more aggressive. Just try to treat them like James Harden when he's in the post. He does a great job of finding contact and grabbing arms and getting to the free throw line. So we got to do a better job of just trying to keep our guys out of foul trouble. I think that's the only thing that really hurt us in the second game.
You guys haven't really had to deal with Howard, especially with the playoff Howard. People always think that's necessary. Were you expecting that going into this series?
Well, I think Gortat's locked back in. He has a great focus for us and what we really need for him to do. We know Dwight's not really getting as many touches as he probably will. I think that's an adjustment they might make going back home and trying to get him involved a lot more. Main thing for us is just trying to keep battling him, trying not to let him get comfortable in any positions. And March keep playing the way he's playing with him and making him make tough shots. We'll live with it. But he hasn't been getting a lot of touches, but I think we can see a lot of adjustments for that in game three.
Do you like how the small ball lineup has been, though, even though?
Yeah, they say they have a better small ball lineup than us. We like our small ball lineup. You know what I mean? We're a team that likes to get out and going. You taking Dwight out the game give us opportunity to attack even more because they don't really have a rim protection. So you know, with Dwight back there, you kind of second guess at times because he does a great job of jumping straight up and blocking shots. So when he goes out the game, we get more aggressive attacking the rim.
Do you think you're playing differently personally than you did last time you were in the playoffs? You seem so confident out there.
Yeah, totally. You're just way, way more confident. I mean, I think I was confident going into that playoffs, but you know what I mean, just being able to be more healthier is a big factor that I think I was confident going into that series. But you have an injury, it takes away a lot of that. But you know, this is probably the most confident I've ever been, period.
What's fueled that? Where does that come from?
Just understanding that, I mean, like, understand this is my team, so this season, knowing it's fully my team, leading these guys, being more healthier, and just a new coach, a new system. I mean, when you get new things around you, you get more life. So that's a key.
You and Brad together, it's such an obvious fit why it would work, the point guard, the shooting guard, the passer, the shooter. You and Brandon is less obvious of a fit, but Scott's been kind of using that at the end of the first quarter in particular, and by some of the numbers, it hasn't been working as well in this series. What do you see with that pairing with you and Brandon? What do you got? What's not been working so far?
Well, you know, I mean, I think they do it. They make adjustments. They bring their bench in and stuff like that. They get more pace into the game. You know what I mean, I don't think it's a problem-wise it hasn't worked. I mean, we haven't really been making too many shots as much, but we just try to give us another ball handler at the same time when Brad's out. I think the thing we can do a little more is kind of like let Brandon run pick and roll, let me spot up and be able to catch the ball off the movements. Because he's more like he can spot up, but that's not his comfort zone, of spotting up, knocking out shots. And I think that's where we have a problem at the time. But other than that, the way he brings defensive pressure for us is good. And add another person that can attack off the dribble.
But does it take making you be the spot up guy sort of a waste of you?
Well, not at times. Gotta do it sometimes with Brad. I mean, that's something I have worked on in my game of being able to knock down shots in those situations. And it's the same. I mean, he's not the same player as Brad, but it's a guy that can give me a break when I don't have the ball in my hands and don't have to create as much. So, I mean, I have to be able to knock down those shots and be able to create off the dribble when guys can't load up on me off of pick and rolls all the time.
Can I ask why you flex so much on the court? I mean, ask you that for a while.
Why I do it?
Yeah.
It's just me. I put a lot of emotions.
Do you, like, is it, like, premeditated, like, when the flex comes out, or was it just?
Just play a lot of emotions, too strong, too fast. I get a hand one. It's just what I do.
So you do it after every end one, pretty much?
Just about.
Yeah. Okay.
Brad did it.
At the end when he got on Millsap, right?
Yeah.
But you got it the shrug now, too.
Yeah, what is it with the shrug? Yeah. Explain that one.
That's a Jordan thing.
Well, I know, but it's Jordan.
I got him. Dang, Jordan started it, but it ain't his. Like, he ain't an encyclopedia for it. But no, it's like I made the three. The first time I did it, I made a three and it bounced in. I'm just like, just one of those days. And then last game, I hit two threes in a row, and they said they're going to give me those shots. And it's just like, I got everything going right now. So it's like, I amaze myself at times on the court. So,
does it feel good when you do like a, when you do like the flex and people are going crazy and stuff? I mean, what does it feel like when you're doing that?
It's amazing to me because, I mean, like I said, this crowd gets up and getting into it. Like the big end one I got when we was down 91-94, crowd got into it. So, you know what I mean, I enjoy it. I feed off, I feed off all that. The crowd, my teammates, those guys getting into the game. When I throw them the ball, I get excited when they score because I feed off of that.
Game
on
when you're throwing Sparky.
Yeah, I feed off of that. You get the crowd into it. That's how you keep the momentum going. Especially when you're home, you're taking a life away from an opposing team. Yeah. And that's something we got to go into, understand. Like, you see a lot of games yesterday, a lot of teams, they lost on the road, went back home, and you understand what their crowd's going to be like, how they're going to feed off of that. Mm-hmm. And then we got to be one of those teams to go in there and try not to let them get their crowd into it.
Have you watched the clip of yourself talking to Dennis?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think when you watch it?
What I think?
When you watch it, yeah.
What I said.
which is what exactly?
I can't say it because I said a cuss word, but it's just like, don't do that. What do you think? Not to jump with me. Same thing you see LeBron dunk on somebody, you're like, what you jump with him for in transition?
You look so, like, angry or mean or something.
I was. We was losing. They came back and took the lead, so it was an important game. And I was like, he really jumped right there. And you have a chance.
Is there, like, a history there?
No, we have. Like, listen, this is how it goes in the basketball career. Like, you're going to have your talks and trash to people throughout the game. We've been in a series with them before. You remember last time we played them in the playoffs? When I broke my hand, you see the picture he posted. I mean, going to the conference finals, and I'm just sitting there like sad face with my hand wrapped, and him and Bazemore just laughing. It's just about history. It's just history in the game. I mean, you're going into it, and it's a playoff battle, you're going to have back and forth trash talking. Keith and Millsap have their trash talking. But at the end of the day, it's just competitive basketball.
I think it's interesting because you just seem like such a laid back guy out here, and it feels like to me more recently.
When I get between those lines, I'm a different person.
Yeah. You seem like mean a lot.
I am. I ain't friendly. I got no friends. Yeah. That's how I was brought up. When I get between those basketball lines, anything I go through and any problems I have, I take it out there.
Do you feel like that you seem to embrace these moments, these playoff games, even more than some?
Yes,
there's some
totally,
guys.
Totally agree. Like from the year, 2 years I've been in, it's been totally different. This year is a lot more fun. Not because we win in the first two games, but it's just like I understand it's my team. I'm more healthier. I'm playing at a higher level, and I have improved my game every year. So you know, you're just growing as a person, as a player every year. That's how I see it.
Thank you.
All right, there you have it, John Wall. You know what? I don't know. I don't know if the misconception of him was from the Colin Cowherd comments right off the bat, or a lot of people just don't pay enough attention to the Wizards on a regular basis, or whatever. But, you know, John Wall is a guy when – you know, I always preface by saying, you know, I don't know what these guys are like off the court when I'm not around and all that. But when we deal with him, for a guy at his level, what he deals with, and you know, he's no diva at all. He's very cool with us, cordial with us. He's honest. He answers questions. He shows up, you know, and he has always been, you know, by the media collectively been given an honest or fair shake or whatever. And he's always pretty cool. So, cool. Thanks to John Wall for talking. Thanks to you guys for listening. Wizards Hawks game 3 Saturday. We'll see what happens. Until next time, Ben Standick signing off. See ya.
Beal gets open for 3. Dagger!
Long drive, long bounce shot. Dagger!